The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Were the sons of Korah eternally saved? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on this episode. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And guess what, Bob?
What?
We have passed over 600 shows.
Are you kidding me?
We have. I don't know the exact number because sometimes our little recording device, we've skipped numbers, but we're over 600 for sure.
Whoa, that's great.
That's a lot. That's a lot of material that we've covered.
I think we're in our third year. I think we started in January 2 years ago. So yeah, we're at like two and a third year, something like that.
Yeah, this has kind of really been interesting. I mean, I think it's helped the ministry. We're definitely reaching new people, you know, with this.
Right. If you're listening to this, you're one of many people who are receiving our daily podcast. Now, a lot of you listen via Stitcher, iTunes, our website.
Audible, Spotify.
So there's a lot of different options. And a number of you listen on radio stations around the country and even some around the world. So we're just very pleased. I think we don't know exactly how many people listen each day, but it's in the thousands, we think, because of the options on the internet, people.
I think so. We're reaching new people. People learn different ways. Not everybody's a reader. Some people are listeners. They're doing their dishes and they want to listen to a lecture or a podcast. I mean, I do that sometimes. So we're pleased to be able to do that for you guys.
Right, and we try to keep this short. Well, we have to.
It's
a 14-minute show. And so we keep it very short by the constraints of the show, and I think that's helpful because now people can listen on their phone, right? They can even save this on their phone and listen to it while they're working out.
There's all kinds of technological things people can do. It's pretty amazing. We're still catching up. You know, as we catch up, everything just changes. Like, I recently just came across a piece of software I think we're going to buy. And know what it lets you do?
What?
It lets you record yourself and it incorporates your head talking as you're teaching through a PowerPoint.
Really?
And I think we're going to start doing that for YouTube. We have a new YouTube series of videos, and we're going to spend more time making videos for those of you who like videos. In fact, YouTube, I think, is the world's second largest search engine, or maybe a third largest. So when people have questions, they go to YouTube, too. So we're going to start doing that.
Yeah, speaking of which, you're going to start releasing one a week, is that right, of the 37 we did with Lucas Kitchen?
Yeah, I think by the time people listen to this show, we will have already put up at least one new video a week for the foreseeable future is what we're going to try to do.
And then hopefully we're going to keep pace. Once we run out of those 37, we're going to keep doing at least one a week. And these are like 5 to 8 minutes or sometimes 10 minutes.
Yeah, those ones are shorter videos. I think we're going to try to capitalize on all these new technologies to reach people with grace, because it's really amazing that here we are, two of us, in this little office, but really with a global reach
as much as anyone else. Some huge office in downtown Dallas.
Oh, we're in this palatial mansion. Absolutely, in downtown Dallas. And yeah, we're just in this amazing... No, we are in a tiny office across from an auto dealership in a building that was basically almost foreclosed for several years. And yet, with these little devices that we have here, this little $100 recorder and these little mics, we're able to reach all around the world.
And thank you, too, to Danny and Lucas. Danny converts all of this into the right things and cuts out any pauses or
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely. Danny Webster. And, of course, Lucas. I mean, he's my buddy.
Yeah. And he's a pro. He does great work. Well, I guess you've already heard him today because he does the intros.
Absolutely.
The outros.
Check out Lucas's website. I think it's simplybelief.com. His ministry is called Free Grace International. You can check their things out. Well, are you ready for some questions?
Let's go for it.
All right.
I don't know because you haven't told me what the question is.
I don't know what the questions are yet either.
It's so exciting to do this show with you, Sean.
Well, so it's not quite live radio, but it's almost. I try to make it live because I just pick up the question.
For me,
random.
It's live.
Yeah,
for it's you really
it is.
No different than somebody calling this in because
right?
I'm hearing it live.
You're for example, here's a question from Connor, and he says, "I just wanted to know if Old Testament people such as Korah and the people involved in his rebellion were saved."
Well, that's a great question. He's talking about the rebellion of the sons of Korah. And these were, if I remember correctly, Levites who were ministering, but they wanted a higher role. They wanted a priestly role. And as a result of their rebellion, the earth opened up and swallowed them whole into Sheol, the place of the dead. The issue of Old Testament believers is a difficult one because the text of the Old Testament rarely indicates whether a person is born again or not. I mean, we do have verses like King Saul, he was given a new heart and made a new man.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
So we have verses like that that make it real clear. We also have New Testament verses that tell us, for example, Romans 4, that King David is a believer. Hebrews 11, going through this great hall of faith.
Right.
We're told all these people from Hebrews 11. But in other cases, we don't get explicit information. So with the sons of Korah, my best guess, and this is just a guess, is that some of them were born again and some of them weren't.
I think that's kind of safe to say. Some yes, some no, but we're not sure.
But the idea that all of them were born again or that all of them were not born again seems unlikely.
But here, how about this? I mean, I think this is what Connor's question really is. His question really is, can a believer be disciplined or punished by God like that unto physical death?
Sure. Look at it this way. Remember Miriam and Aaron rebelled against their brother Moses?
Uh-huh.
And Miriam got leprosy for a week?
Right.
And then God took the leprosy away. Well, God could have taken her life right there.
Right.
And, of course, Moses was supposed to go into the promised land, but instead of being able to go into the promised land, because he struck the rock, he died before he went into the promised land.
And by the way, I kind of sympathize, you know, with Korah and Miriam and those people. I did the calculations once, and the distance between Cairo in Egypt to Jerusalem is about the distance between Dallas and Waco. Imagine taking 40 years
to go like 100
miles from Dallas to Waco. I would start questioning that leadership too. Are you sure you know what you're doing, Moses? This is like a 7-day walk at most. It's a 1-day drive, and it's like decades now.
And the other thing is, Moses was dealing with a very stubborn people.
He was. Well, so Connor, yes, believers can be disciplined by God. We can do bad things, and God can chastise us. And we can even get sick and die like the Corinthians were getting sick.
1 Corinthians 11:30, right?
For celebrating the Lord's Supper.
And there's a sin unto death, 1 John chapter 5.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on. Here's a question from Jeremy. Basically, Jeremy asks, you know, how can a Southern Baptist reconcile free grace theology with the official Baptist faith and message? And here he cites a portion.
He says,
how do you reconcile? How can you be a Southern Baptist and a free grace person? So under salvation, I guess it's Article 4, it says there's no salvation apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. So that's, you know, that's kind of questionable.
Right.
Because Jesus, he is Lord, but we're believing him for eternal salvation.
Right.
Repentance and faith are inseparable experiences of grace. Repentance is a genuine turning from sin toward God. So is repentance and faith inseparable if repentance is defined as a turning from sin to God? Faith is the acceptance of Jesus Christ and commitment of the entire personality to him as Lord and Savior. So that's kind of, so I'll just end it there, those three things.
Well, you know, I would say, again, not trying to answer for Ken, that there are many churches who are within the Southern Baptist denomination who do not agree with every single jot and tittle in the faith and message, right?
Yeah.
They're going to agree with a lot of it, but they're not agreeing with everything. And when they indicate their agreement, they're indicating a general agreement.
Yeah.
And so I think for many free grace people within Southern Baptist circles, they would say, okay, look, I don't have a problem with saying repentance and faith are inseparable. I just consider repentance a change of mind.
Right.
And I don't agree with their definition of repentance there.
Well, so that's a good question. I mean, in Baptist circles, is this a creed that you have to subscribe to in order to be Southern Baptist?
Well, that's another good question, because Baptists don't have, the London Confession.
But even then, it's really up to I thought it was up to independent churches to make their own decision about these things.
I think the Southern Baptist churches are essentially independent, although if an individual, there have been cases of individual Southern Baptist churches that have departed on a fundamental issue of the faith, and they've been kicked out of the denomination.
Right.
But I don't believe that being free grace would be considered departing from a fundamental issue of the faith, so I don't believe the denomination would kick them out. So I think probably the understanding is that the denomination has tolerance for some degree of variation.
Right. So I don't know the exact policy. But would I personally have trouble with these three statements? Yeah, I definitely would. I would not have written these things this way. Like, for example, there's no salvation apart from personal faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. I don't understand what personal faith is as opposed to what impersonal faith or corporate faith.
Yeah.
It's just believing.
Right.
I don't think personal really adds. I guess they're thinking of people who are like, well, I'm Presbyterian because my grandmother was Presbyterian, or I'm Catholic because my mom was Catholic.
Right.
No, you have to believe in Jesus to be saved yourself.
Right.
So what is the bottom line here for Jeremy? We would have difficulty subscribing to these statements.
Right. And I think what Jeremy needs to recognize is, at least in terms of my experience, individual Southern Baptist churches have individual doctrinal statements. So I would go and look at the church's doctrinal statement.
Right.
I would not look at the Baptist faith and message and say that necessarily reflects the church.
Right.
The same thing is true, for example, with E-Free churches. I have many friends who are pastors of E-Free churches, and they have a few doctrines that are generic to the whole denomination, but then they will have their own doctrinal statement to flesh it out.
Yeah, and I would go farther. I'd say probably the doctrinal statement's not enough. Just because there's some statement on a website, that does not mean that's what the current pastor preaches.
That's
or
a good
the people
point.
Believe.
That's a good
you
point.
You have to actually talk to people, the leadership, figure out what they believe.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for the question, and keep on sending them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that, if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question, or a comment, or some feedback. And if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. We hope you have a wonderful weekend, and we look forward to seeing you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.